This is the Pew Talk America Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. Welcome back. This is hour two. This will be show 358B when you listen back online and try to figure out what the hell you're listening to.
What did I do?
It's the show with Clayton McKee. It's Pew Talk America. We are live every Tuesday night from Studio C in Central Phoenix, Arizona. That's in the USA, ladies and gentlemen. Alongside me is Kat Carlson, Marnie Ryer, and Al Perkins. That rounds out the actual cast. We're all here this week. I think we should all get a round of applause for just being here this week.
Kat's not here.
Well, she's in the kitchen.
All right. I just wanted to make sure.
For full transparency, Doug Wilkie has the night off. I still think that's funny. Anywho, first hour was getting to know you. How are things? What's going on? And the second hour is always headlines. Our third segment is entertainment in two things. That's coming up after this hour, so you'll want to stick around for that. In the meantime, here we go with headlines. Well, India's Supreme Court on Thursday unanimously struck down one of the world's oldest bans on consensual gay sex, a groundbreaking victory for gay rights that buried one of the most glaring vestiges of India's colonial past. After weeks of deliberation by the court and decades of struggle by gay Indians, Chief Justice, I'm going to probably get this wrong, but I'm going to attempt it, Deepak Misra, said the law was irrational, indefensible, and manifestly arbitrary. News of the decision instantly shot around India and around the world because I got it on my Twitter feed. I got it on the headline feeds instantly. On the steps of the iconic courthouse in Bangalore?
Sure.
People danced, kissed, and hugged tightly, eyes closed. In Mumbai, India's pulsating commercial capital, human rights activists showered themselves in a blizzard of confetti. The justices eagerly went further than simply decriminalizing gay sex. From now on, they ruled, gay Indians are to be accorded all the protections of the Constitution. This ruling is hugely significant, said, this is another name I'm going to botch, Meenakshi Ganguly, the South Asia director of the Human Rights Watch. With restrictions on gay rights toppling in country after country, the ruling in India, the world's second most populous nation, may encourage still more nations to act. So
that's very exciting.
It's great for them. I mean, it's great that another.
Anant, as the spokesperson for your people, how do you feel?
I didn't celebrate. She says, "I live in rural India."
I have to be the spokesperson for my people all the time.
Yeah,
somebody else have a turn.
This is one of those times where I really do wish that we could do a live chat with these.
Yeah.
All the people in the chat room, so we could get an instant. Yeah, that'd be very cool.
I wonder what he would think about it.
We're going to find
out. We're waiting.
We're waiting.
There's that. All right. I thought you guys were going to have more to talk about with this topic, but
I just don't know enough. I'm excited for them. I just don't know enough.
I mean, it was long fought, and there was some reversals and triumphs, and then to have it be such a, like, the full, I mean, if they stick to it and do really go with, like, there's no restrictions on housing. There's no restrictions on marriage. Like, do they get all of it?
Sure.
That's very exciting.
Yep.
And to, you know, just end the fight. Just
have it be done.
Yeah. Send the ruling. Make it there.
Yep.
Now, one of the other things in the story that it says, many Indians are extremely socially conservative, going to great lengths to arrange marriages, which we've seen in movies and different shows, with the right, trying to get with the right families. Of the right castes, because do they have a caste system? Is that
they
how they work?
Mm-hmm.
Loved ones who try to rebel are often ostracized. Countless gays have been shunned by their parents and persecuted by society. It also says that even though the ruling has been changed, just like in America, changing the law is one thing, but changing deeply held mindsets is another. I mean, you know, we're still going through that here in America.
Oh, yeah, just because the Supreme Court rule doesn't mean you won over Grandma or Uncle Charlie.
Right. No. Or your angry uncle or whatever it is. So anywho, there's that story, and Kat, transition out of that one.
Well, something different. Authorities in Eastern Ohio say a grocery store employee has been charged with felony theft for helping herself to deli ham.
There you have it.
For years?
Oh, my years.
Goodness. Oh, what is their sodium?
This
is funny.
Tuscarawas County.
No. Traditional spelling.
Yeah.
Their sheriff's deputy, Brian Hale, tells the Columbus Dispatch that the 8-year employee of a regional grocery chain, Giant Eagle, was charged Friday with stealing food estimated to the store to be worth $9,200.
That's a lot of ham.
That's a lot of
Seriously.
Ham.
Seriously.
Okay.
The store's loss prevention manager received a tip that an employee had been eating 3 to 5 slices of ham nearly every day over 8 years.
Okay, well.
Oh, so she didn't sneak out whole ham.
Yeah. No.
She's just having one sandwich at a time.
Sure. It's a slice. Snack.
Authorities
just a snack.
Also say she sometimes ate salami.
Oh, well. Did they incorporate that into the money?
Break it up.
Yeah. Or maybe she had them both, right? She's, like, it was a club sandwich.
She had to eat all the colors of the wind.
It could have been, yeah.
Other details, including her name, weren't available immediately. It's unclear at this time whether she has an attorney.
That's fantastic.
Or how she felt about cheese.
Maybe Avenatti or
Gloria.
Or how
she felt about cheese.
Gloria Allred, however, will represent her. You watch.
Oh,
she's
absolutely.
Always available.
She always is.
She'll make herself available.
I saw her when she saw Dear Evan Hansen the same day I did.
Oh, yeah?
So I was standing outside the theater with one Miss Gloria Allred.
I love it.
Show me on the doll where he hurt you.
Point to your Virginia.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. In Kenya, that'd be 920,000 shillings.
Chitlins?
Shillings.
Oh, I see. I thought you said chitlins.
It seems like a lot more ham when you do it that way.
It's a lot of ham.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
but I do have to, before you go on, before with that, the person that outed her, that ratted her out.
This bitch.
Right. I feel that there's a backstory between ham stealer and ham accuser mm-hmm. that we don't know about. I think there's something going on. Because why else? I mean, come on.
The Hamel tail?
Yeah.
I mean, for example, Jason Carlton.
Ham for ham.
Jason Carlton worked at that hotel for I don't know how many years, and he was in and out of kitchens and stuff, and he was always telling me what he ate. He'd eat this, you know, chips and salsa, yeah, and this, yeah, and whatever.
Yeah. Well, restaurants are a little bit different.
They're a little bit looser.
But it would just, but still, you could technically consider that pilfering from the company.
Also, yeah. These are the people that look at my kids every time we're at the counter and go, do you want a sample?
Right,
start just
yeah.
fucking oh, handing yeah. them shit. Yeah.
I think
they can have an entire damn sandwich by the time we're done with our
I
lunch
think
order.
These two ladies have got a bitch fight between them over something.
Especially if it went down 3 slices at a time.
I would laser focused on our shaved ham here at Q Talk America. We're going to follow this story.
We should.
Hey, by the way, speaking of eating a lot of ham,
call them.
Have we ever found out what happened to the bike guy? You remember the bike guy who was riding across the United States?
Fat guy on a bike?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Hang on. You do your story.
Thank you, because I,
I'll
you know,
that up.
Clearly.
I don't have to do
we did
ham.
Not fall.
Fat guy.
Duh.
Sodium issues. Fat guy. It was fat guy on a bike.
Or retention of water.
I don't get it.
Oh, God. Okay.
Fat guy on a little bike?
Yeah, fat guy.
Well, that's what came up.
So, Dick Bag in Chief has...
Could you narrow that down, please?
Well, sure.
Okay.
Head Dick Bag in Chief. Did y'all hear about his rally? You know, because he has them all the fucking time.
Yeah, I was just going to say, which one?
Yeah, which is asinine. But he had a rally in one of those states that's a little bit backwoods. God bless him. Beautiful, but backwoods. Montana, I think it was. And
Montana's not backwards. There's like 4 people
by
there.
By the way, it's beautiful.
They're all facing
but it's
the same
a
way.
Little backwoods.
Backwoods. Okay.
Backwards.
I said backwards. I'm like,
oh,
wait a
no,
minute.
No.
It's like 4 people there. No. I'm related to 2 of them, and they're very nice.
Little backwoods can be as far as like they're thinking, right? With the, who was the, was it a senator or whatever? The guy.
Ryan Zinke?
Bad guy?
Ryan Zinke was a congressman who then was nominated and appointed to the Secretary of the Interior.
I think so. Yep.
Yeah, and then just wants to sell off the national parks. Yeah, he's an asshole.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly it. I mean, just a little backwards. But he just... this douchebag can go up, stand in front of these morons, I mean with love, and say things that, you know, that we all kind of, if we hear it on TV... or if whatever, we read it in print, we think, are you fucking kidding me? Can you imagine, whether it be Obama or Clinton or either Clinton, that you blame people and you act like a 4-year-old and stomp your feet? Donald Trump took the stage at a rally in Billings, Montana, last week on Thursday.
Lovely town.
Yeah,
very nice.
A simple message to his supporters. He just said, you know what? If I'm impeached, it's your fault.
Oh, yeah.
It's your fault for not voting. But the president, 72, was campaigning at the event for Senate candidate Matt Rosendale.
And never mentioned his name.
Oh, really?
Yep.
That's funny. A Republican who's challenging John Tester in the upcoming November election. But in between his continued attacks of the on the fake news media and his boasts about his strong relationship with Kim Jong-un and Vladimir Putin, because that's what we love in our president.
Yeah. Oh.
Trump addressed the possibility of his impeachment, something he said would happen if Democrats were to take back control of Congress. I don't even like to bring it up, the impeach word, he said. Oh, shut the fuck up. I would have just gone up and punched him in his junk if I could have found it.
But it's amazing that he's talking about it out loud to people. It's a shocking turn of events that it's so on his radar.
I know.
That he brings it up at, like, for him rallies.
Yeah. I don't even like to talk about it, he says.
But, I mean... But
I don't like to talk about myself.
As we were saying, but you know what? Those little turds in the audience are going to vote.
Oh, yeah.
Because their supreme leader just told
them
they have to.
They have to. But I say, how can you impeach somebody who has done a great job?
Show me a guy that did a great
who
job.
Who hasn't done anything wrong?
Show me that guy.
Yeah.
Who's not implicated
who's
in
this?
Five felonies.
Our economy is good. How do you do it, he says. It's so ridiculous, the president added. But we'll worry about that. But we will worry about that. It never happens. If it does happen, it's your fault because you did not go out and vote. You didn't go out and vote. That's the only way it could happen. Nothing I did, I'm sure he would like to say. I'll be the only president in history, they'll say. What a great job he's done. By the way, we're impeaching him. Wow. He added, this election...
No one will say that.
You aren't just voting for a candidate. You're voting for which party controls Congress. And Al's right. I mean...
Because that's the effective message. That's what, like, that's what needs to be said. You're voting for who controls Congress.
Sure.
Sick of this shit? Then stop it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Get up and vote.
It isn't the first time that he's brought up the possibility of his impeachment. In August, he addressed it during a sit-down with Fox News. Blech. If I ever got impeached, I think the market would crash. I think everybody would be very poor, Trump said.
I think it's going to crash
anyway. Would see numbers that you wouldn't believe. I guess it says something like high crimes and all. I don't know how you can impeach somebody who's done such a great job, Trump said. Fucking four-year-old. Of course, impeachment wasn't the only thing on his mind on Thursday. The former Celebrity Apprentice host also brought up the headline-making New York Times op-ed in which an author, whose identity was kept anonymous,
Mike Pence.
Claiming to be a senior administration official, claimed they're leading a resistance movement from within Trump's own White House. I think it's Kellyanne Conway's husband.
It could be Kellyanne Conway.
It could be Kellyanne Conway, for sure.
Or Kellyanne Conway Twitty.
Twist.
Yes. But dun, because dun, there's, dun. There's
I like it.
The Republicans at work are like going on and on about all these people. I'm like, the New York Times will vet.
Yeah,
they know who it is. They're not going to say.
Oh yeah,
White
and
House
they agreed
insider
to publish it
anonymously because they knew who it was. So that makes unless Kellyanne and she's already sold her soul. I doubt it's her. But Pence has said at rallies that God. Is lining him up to be president.
Right.
So I think him teeing up the ball to have somebody impeach.
Sure.
You know, and remaining blameless.
Well, he's just having a goddamn fit about that. And so he says, this anonymous gutless coward, nobody knows who the hell he is or she. For the sake of our national security, the New York Times should publish his name at once. It's really bad, and it's really dangerous. It's really sad for the mainstream media. How dumb I am. Oh, I'm sorry, that was not part of the
editorial.
Article. I just added that. The so-called resistance is angry because their horrible ideas have been rejected by the American people, and it's driving them crazy. They're the ones who have been driven crazy, he says. The fuck are you talking about?
I like that
you can't even put
been,
in quotes. Like, you can't...
Yeah.
Like, he's saying these things, and you have a...
But 18 months later, you're still amazed by these conference. They're all the same.
I know.
The only thing different about this one is he brought up the impeachment word in front of a rally of his supporters. Like, that don't watch anything where impeachment's even a possible. You know what I mean? Like he fed them a grain of something that they are never going to hear. They only watch Fox News. They only read each other's posts.
You're right.
They have no idea there's a Russia investigation or that anything's going wrong. That was the surprise to me was that he told them because they will remain blissfully ignorant. They think there's no proof of anything.
There's no problem. Yeah. Well, and who was it that said that? The best way to get, I think it was Pence, the best way to get information is word of mouth.
Yeah. You don't trust the news.
Don't trust the news. It's word of mouth.
Yeah, because that's what he's telling the people that only listen to their friends.
No, I know, but where are you getting the news that comes? Well,
it's how they're getting their information. He's reaffirming how they're getting their information.
Uncle Bob says it ain't right, so it ain't right.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing.
And he's going to the rallies.
But where did Uncle Bob find out?
From three guys from down at the barbershop.
The people at the barbershop that heard it from a friend, who heard it from the cousin, who said there's a basement in the pizza restaurant.
Right.
Who thinks Tom Hanks is a child molester, Nazi sympathizer.
All those things.
But that's, I mean...
That actually makes a little bit of sense.
have you seen Big?
It's the coding that they're doing.
Okay.
That they're going in and reaffirming to these people... What you're doing is right. Don't go to outside sources. Don't vet information.
Sure.
If you heard it from the guy standing next to you.
Don't believe these professional journalists. Yeah. Believe the guy next door.
Yeah.
It's just awful.
And two things with regards to him today. Was asked about the how he did on Hurricane Maria.
Oh, yeah.
A plus.
Of course he did.
No, A plus was all the other ones. That was their best. That was the unsung one. They don't think they'd be graded.
Right,
because A plus was for Texas, was for Houston
Texas and Florida,
but unsung, and they think they'll be just as successful in North Carolina as they were in Puerto Rico. So there's people in North Carolina.
There are 3,000 people that are going to die, right,
right,
and no electricity for a year. That's the level he put it at this morning.
When he said that today, it set those two the people of Puerto Rico on fire. And she was on the phone today on Chris Matthews, and just she would light her hair on fire.
Yeah,
the governor, well, I forget what her name is, but she's the one who's been always been so outspoken about everything.
The mayor of San Juan.
Or mayor, I'm sorry, mayor of San Juan.
The governor is kind of a pussy. The governor is the man that keeps backing down because he's still trying to play grown up politics with Trump,
and it ain't working.
And she's
the
one.
Ducey and Stanton.
My God.
Huh?
I mean, in a lot of ways, it's like Ducey and Stanton. Like how, it just as far as who we respect and who we don't.
Right.
He also, just one last thing with Mr. Dickbag. They were talking, with today being 9/11, about the fact that 17 years ago, there's a new video that has resurfaced, an interview, where he reveals that the good news is that...
No, he doesn't say the good news is.
Well, but that his building has become the tallest in Lower Manhattan now. And he just... It's like,
shut up. Yeah. That was his silver... I hadn't heard of that.
It's been around for years.
I hadn't seen that one.
They
that seems about right.
They got a call for some god-awful... And this one is... I will never defend this man. This one is not his fault.
Okay.
This one is not his fault at all. There was no reason to call him. Why this news channel and this news producer wanted to talk to celebrities on 9/11, like in the middle of the afternoon, it made no sense.
Because they had air to fill. No. It was
24 hours. But why?
And they had to stop showing film of people jumping from the building. Yeah. They needed
the buildings had already fallen. Like there was plenty.
Yeah, but they had to stop showing all that footage.
Yeah. Like they had to.
There was just no reason to cut to local celebrity. Like no one cares.
Well, this is that he phoned in.
Cindy Adams wasn't available.
No, but he phoned in because they reached out to him.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah,
he was a property developer.
The producer reached out to him and started like interviewing him, and he just started lying and saying that from his building he could see the towers and he could see all the stuff when he really doesn't have a view of that. And then he says, you know, that was the largest building in Lower Manhattan. I used to have the second largest build, the second tallest building. And he just goes, so I guess I'm the tallest building.
I have got to see this.
But it really, it's not as dickish as the lies he was telling prior. It really does come across more as he just did the math in his head.
Like
the tallest building has fallen. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
to see it in print is different then. Because
they played that interview a lot. Okay. And it's It's I don't remember hearing that part. That's the shocking part. Now we're doing a little bit of fake news and making it sound like he was gloating when he was just really like assessing the situation of like, oh.
And realizing feather in my hat, oh, now I have the tallest building, but it wasn't an intentional.
No, it wasn't like.
I'll have to. I'm sure it'll be seen somewhere.
Yeah. Was it a radio show?
Yeah.
I think it's a radio show that he called in for, which gives them like less reason to call someone
in. Yeah,
like,
it was New Jersey's WWOR.
Yeah, WWOR.
UPN9.
Mm. Yeah, so and
you've
it's
got
just.
Even, you've got even less material on a radio show.
Yeah.
Look around.
Yeah, we're a TV show, goddammit.
Well, and just the idea, I didn't see anything today, but just the idea of it, when you think about just all the different things.
Oh, so you haven't seen him fist bump yet?
No, and I just, that's
why I can't believe you're still on last Thursday. Like,
no, that's
his thing for his Twitter for 9/11 today was 17 years ago today. How time flies with exclamation points all in caps. Oh, God, he's like, that's why I can't believe you're back on last Thursday. Like, oh, catch up.
Was
he's
this morning.
Way worse.
Oh, before anything,
mom
it
had
was,
surgery, and I have been like, oh, yeah. Oh, no.
Rushy emails and all this stuff and nothing about.
It's like listening to old podcasts. By the time they broadcast them, three other horrible things have transpired.
Oh,
yeah.
My
they,
God.
Yeah. So, but in a lighter story,
Kaylee Foster.
Star of the football team.
Oh, is this a homecoming queen quarterback?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I love her.
She was going to attend the homecoming dance with the star of the football team. Why? Because she was the star of the football team.
Oh!
Because she kicked two field goals and the game-winning point after a touchdown. The senior at Ocean Springs High School in Ocean Springs, Mississippi, was also crowned homecoming queen just before the big game. I really don't have any words, Foster told the Mississippi Press after the game. This has just been so wonderful. I love football, and I love Ocean Springs. According to the press, Foster has been a place kicker since middle school, and she's continued to play the sport in high school. When asked whether she was more nervous before the homecoming queen announcement or before she made the kick, Foster said, I was pretty sure I wasn't going to be homecoming queen, but I was pretty sure I was going to make that kick. Head football coach Ryan Ross said he was proud of his team and especially proud of Foster. I'd like to check the whole country and see if it's ever happened before. It certainly makes for a memorable weekend for the whole team, but especially for Kaylee. I just think that's great. Like, no big deal that she's on the football team, but then, you know, gets the best. She really can't have everything.
Turns out girls can do stuff.
Yeah.
I like it.
So right. I just think that's a charming little story.
And that not much is made of. It's not like the biggest deal.
No.
It's just...
There's not protesters outside of prom or anything, or homecoming, I guess.
Yeah. Right. Or anybody fighting at the game that she's the kicker.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely.
Good for her.
Yeah. I'm proud
of her.
Good on her. It's fantastic.
Flashing back right quick to what we were just talking about a few minutes ago, the fat guy across America on the bike.
I looked him up, yeah.
According to his website, there was about an 18-month gap in his blogging. Mm-hmm. That story goes back to, time flies.
Yeah.
October of 15 is when he was to start taking his journey from Florida. And then you skip from October of 15 to July of 17. And it's a medical history, and he goes through a bunch of different things. And the most recent post in this is October of 17, where he basically talks about the fact that he got on a scale and he's back up to his weight, and I guess he and his wife are just going through a lot of medical issues. Mm. Now, granted, you know, we're almost a year past that, and there's been no update. So I'm hoping
he's abandoned the blog and has gone to the Facebooks for all of the updates. Okay.
Breaking news from Kat Carlson.
Okay,
he in May apparently he started attempting to ride again after several weeks of walking.
Okay,
and working out. And is apparently doing live feeds via YouTube. I haven't checked that. That's not vetted.
Okay.
It's not vetted.
Nope, that's fine.
We'll just go by word of mouth.
No. I think we should. Well, I heard that.
I said it's true, so it is true.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Unconfirmed
source. And where are we talking about?
And what is this guy?
This is the fat guy across America. The guy that was going to ride his bike all the way across the country to, like, save himself.
Right. To lose weight, to prove his wife that he could do it.
Yep. All right.
He's apparently seeing an endocrinologist for hormone replacement therapy. I'm not sure what the issue actually is. Quite a few of his levels are way below where they should be.
Okay.
And there are unusual levels that are linked with his pituitary gland. Mm. This is a lot of information for Facebook.
Yeah.
So he's getting more tests, but the hormone therapy is supposed to help him kickstart things in a big way and help him get over this bump in his road and start showing real progress again, not to mention getting him back into riding shape. There's a little update there. He's also apparently fallen for the SodaStream As it were.
Is it a sponsor or is he pushing that?
No, he just apparently enjoys it. He must have a bit of a soda habit, which I understand they're really hard to kick.
The blog does say food addict, so I'm assuming that would be part of it.
And soda is just basically kind of poison. So now he has his soda stream and his artificial sweetener, which is probably also poison.
Also, right.
Mm.
But apparently he really enjoys that.
Hmm.
And that's where he's at. His last update was September the 4th, so not too long ago. He's considering solid tubes for his rear tire.
Okay.
No, that's not a metaphor.
Not a metaphor. Nope.
That's a real thing.
It made me uncomfortable.
Well, based on his,
he says he keeps blowing tubes or pinching them and making it expensive and a pain.
I don't want to talk about what he's blowing.
It's hard for him to ride his bike because he keeps blowing out the tubes, and he's thinking perhaps a solid tube.
Well, and
Clayton, do you have an insight on that?
They do make a solid tube that's got some give to it. It's not a hard plastic, but it does. Yeah, they do. They use them on dollies and other industrial carts, but and certainly not making fun, but he is, according to the blog, I'm not sure if that gave a weight update, he's almost 600 pounds.
I haven't seen...
According to the blog, and that was a year ago, he was at almost 600 pounds. So asking a standard bicycle tire and tube to accommodate that is asking a lot.
It's a big ask, sure.
Big ask.
Big ask. Ask with a K, ladies and gentlemen. Right. Big ass. Big ask.
Well, it's probably a big ass, too, but...
Well, speaking of big ass, this is a big win. A New York man will be living large thanks to his decision to buy some Slim Jims for his dog. Now, for those of you who may not know what a Slim Jim is, it is a little snack you can buy in any convenience store. Sometimes
they're so disgusting, and I love them.
And I love them.
I love them a lot.
They make them spicy. They make them different flavors.
Original. It's all about the original.
That's the original right there.
I've never had that in my mouth.
Oh, well, you will love it. New York lottery officials say that Monday, a 73-year-old man named Dale...
I had a Slim Jim in my mouth. But again...
Remind me, I have something to show. I have a video to show you.
How many arms did he have?
Two. Three, basically.
Yeah, apparently.
New York lottery officials say Monday that 73-year-old Dale Farron recently won the $10 million prize on a cash spectacular scratch-off ticket. The Fort Edward man says he bought a $30 ticket at a local Cumberland Farms convenience store while buying Slim Jim snacks for his dog named Boots. He scratched the ticket in his car and realized he was a winner. Farron says he drove straight home and had his wife check the ticket for him. Because what do? You verify. Because, you know, maybe you're seeing things. Farron will receive a lump sum payment of $6.7 million after required withholdings and taxes. He says that he will use his windfall to pay off his mortgage, make home improvements, and help his children and grandchildren have better lives.
Nice.
Just buy a Slim Jim. So again, it just proves the theory, you know, just... The winners are the ones who just randomly buy shit. Exactly. You just randomly on an impulse buy a ticket, boom, win.
Yep.
You know what hooked me on the Slim Jim?
What?
Macho Man Randy Savage.
Oh, still
those down. Commercials.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's great. Yeah.
That's all flashback for you.
That is
a
little
flashback for you.
Wow.
Yeah. Kids today, they don't know.
They don't.
No, they don't
they're
know.
Missing out.
I'm gonna find
snap
a,
into it.
I'm
I know.
Gonna, I'm gonna find a picture.
I mean, between that and the light bright.
Maybe a video at the break.
And like the me now. I forget. It's not the Mean Green Machine or something. It was the.
I had a Mean Green Machine because I wasn't allowed to have a big wheel.
I had a big wheel.
Cat. There you
awesome.
Go.
Awesome.
Yeah. There he is.
Macho Man Macho Randy Man. Savage.
I had a green machine.
I followed professional wrestling
machine
for
or you had
longer
a...
than I.
I had a green machine. We
help me.
What I showed a picture
big
of it.
Wheel.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No, they're different.
No, I understand that. I fucking know what a green machine and a big wheel is.
God, don't get real mad.
I'm always persecuted on this show for not knowing what I'm talking about.
Very uncomfortable right now.
But I know what a green machine was because I told the story about
this is the hill you're going
to
die on?
That's how I learned that plastic doesn't hold up well to heavier children. Because my green machine sagged in the middle.
The green machine was metal. No. That motherfucker, that was a deadly toy.
Sorry.
The big wheel was plastic.
They were both plastic.
God damn, that's funny.
I'm going to... Yes.
I'll
be researching. Kat, do your story.
The Huffy Green Machine, I've already got it up.
Oh my God, is that fantastic. I enjoy that very much.
Well, the current iteration does appear to be metal.
That's mm. current. But in the 70s, it was...
No, there was like a bike. It was like a... It was... My mother was convinced it was better for my back, but it was metal.
I think we're talking... I think possibly talking about two different things. Because it shows that there's a Green Machine bike and there's a...
You, wow, there's some really cool, really cool pictures there. Anyway.
Oh, boy.
Speaking of dumb shit.
Oh. All right.
In September of last year,
yeah,
Facebook events started springing up, reportedly made by, quote, patriots who wanted to shoot their guns at Hurricane Irma to scare it away.
Shut.
I don't remember this. No, I don't remember this.
Yeah, I said that correctly. The whole thing blew so far out of proportion with 26,000 people clicking attend and 45,000 people clicking interested that the Pasco County Sheriff's Office went on Twitter urging people not to go shoot the storm.
Wait, please don't. Chase the storm, but don't shoot the storm.
Now, what bullets would you choose?
Hang on.
Hollow point.
To clarify, hollow says the point. Sheriff's Department, do not shoot weapons at hashtag Irma. You won't make it turn around, and it will have a very dangerous side effect.
Yeah.
To clarify, do not shoot weapons at Irma. The office even included a diagram that suggested that bullets fired into a hurricane could end up coming back at the shooter.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
Boomerang effect.
Can you imagine?
Now.
That's funny.
The article says, needless to say, but I feel like we have to say,
yeah,
the whole thing was a joke.
You and never
it's
know.
Possible
you, just never know.
You never know. It's possible that the sheriff's department overreacted, nah, but who wants to take that chance?
That's it.
That's who exactly what I had.
Wants
that was
to
plastic.
Take that chance.
I thought it was metal, but you could be right.
At the time of the prank, one of the organizers, a man named Ryan Edwards,
okay,
explained that the whole thing was a joke. He said, it started it out of boredom and a little anxiety about the storm. I figured a good laugh at the situation was better than rolling up into a ball and crying about it.
Sure.
Arguable. Okay. Honestly, there's a time and a place for curling up in a ball and crying about it. That's okay. But while the event is very sarcastic in nature, you never know.
You don't.
You never know.
No. I mean, they, in my sunshade, have a little note that says, do not drive with us in the window.
Side note.
Right? I mean, did they need to put it? Apparently.
Apparently.
Sorry.
It turns out that people that know these things... consider that aiming a gun, just aiming the gun in 100 plus mile an hour winds would be a serious feat.
Right.
Yeah. Sure, that'd be hard.
Yep.
Very few people, if any, could pull that off.
Sure.
Now, fast forward to now, Hurricane Florence is nearing Category 5 strength and moving towards the coast of the southeast coast of the United States.
Yep.
People are taking to Facebook again to set up a similar prank because nothing's funnier than a joke that's already been told.
Yeah. Well, now some
nothing
of them
funnier
are,
than the second time some, you tell that joke.
Sometimes shit's funny when you tell it and retell it.
Well, there's one very sneakily titled
sneakily
shooting guns at Hurricane Florence to scare it away, hosted by Ryan Strumpf.
Hey, Pat Robertson's praying it away.
I don't
and
know
if it
what
hits,
that is.
If the hurricane hits, Pat Robertson wants you to know it's because you didn't pray hard enough.
Oh, of course.
I thought it was a gaze. I thought we were in charge of hurricanes.
Oh yeah, that's a good point. How come the gays? Why don't we get this one?
Well, because we have marriage now. Because
it hasn't killed anybody yet. Yeah. Hasn't killed anybody.
Oh,
yet.
But as soon as it does, it will be on the gays and.
Yeah, because we weren't praying. But he says in his warning that it will be because we didn't pray hard enough.
Hmm.
Well, okay.
My goodness.
Before we move on, we're going to clarify.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a 1970s Green Machine. This is what Al had. It's what I had. That
God,
is.
I did not have that.
That is exploded plastic. That is a plastic body.
Yeah.
Now, they do make newer. The newer ones. This is, and that is a metal frame, which is smart and makes me want to get one now. They also make this style.
Kids are fatter today.
Which is also metal. So the new ones are metal, but the original ones were plastic.
Mine didn't look like that. Mine looked
like this.
Mine had like a metal bar in the middle. It was more like a.
Oh, somebody made it for you and just told you it was a
Green Machine.
No, it had Green Machine on a metal bar.
Yeah,
along
well, they
the
painted
side.
That.
Probably that could be. I mean, it could be.
Well,
but
then I will find that. I'm going to look for more pictures.
But it had this really precarious bar down the middle that racked me as a child.
Oh,
I haven't
can't
heard
be
the
good.
Word racked in forever.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's the day that I learned it.
I'm going to find the metal bar with the big Green Machine on the side.
Where? Now, you didn't show what the cool kids had.
Oh, my God. I think I found it, Al. Holy sh...
Breaking
hang on.
News. Breaking it,
well,
news.
Hang on. I have to see if this is... Well, hang on. We'll see if this is Al's. It takes a second to set this shit up.
Because that looks too much like it. There was something about the seats on those. My mother was very concerned about my back for some reason. So my bed was...
Is this
a
yours?
Board. That looks more like it. Because
there's
didn't...
a steel bar right there that you would have slid right off of.
Right, and it had...
Oh, and that's
that,
real bad for your
that
back.
Metal bar,
that.
See that metal bar between the seat and there?
Uh-huh.
It was that, but it wasn't... This looks a little bit more updated. Those bars along the side were like green things that you could hold on. You could hold on here and just glide. It could be a glider.
Oh.
So you could like pump it, and then you could like lay back and like lose your way down the street.
Very exciting.
It was...
Right into parked cars.
Dangerous.
Well, of course, it was the 70s.
Yeah.
There was a lot of danger. Darts. There used to be a lot of danger in toys.
But however you died, you were going into it feet first.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Like the luge.
Yeah.
It was like a luge.
But there was something about the seats of those other ones that my mom thought was going to hurt my back.
But I'm thinking if this is the new version of that, I don't know what the weight test is on. I'd have to find out. But it looks like the back wheels are still plastic.
Well, where's the brake?
Maybe somebody de-alled it, and they had put like green bars out from that front tire to the back tire, like to stabilize it.
Oh, maybe.
That's what I feel is missing, is there's just like a...
Sure, because the trick to that one is you steer from behind.
Yes.
Yeah, it's the front wheel is stationary, and you're using those handles to steer your
and that's what
steer from the ass end.
Yeah.
And it was nuts. Huh. It went way too fast.
Oh, I bet. That sounds very fun.
And we would like to buy, like... The driveway had just enough of a slant that you could work up to a terrifying
speed.
Oh,
that sounds exciting.
Now I'm going to call my mom and ask her why I didn't have one of those.
Yeah.
Did you love me or something?
Right.
Yeah.
We even lived on a hill. Yeah. I even broke my jaw on a bicycle. Why couldn't I have had one of these?
We even lived on a hill. We're certain death.
Like, that would have been awesome.
Well, I'm sorry, but if you lived on a hill and there was snow, you had yourself a whole fucking winter of fun.
Oh, yeah.
All you were going to do was just ride that some motherfucking spinny thing.
We lived
thing.
In the foothills of the Wasatch Mountains. We were all hills.
Garbage.
And snow and wonderfulness.
And you'd accidentally get the handles off a garbage can lid so that they would make better...
That doesn't look any more like yours, does it? With the handles right there?
No.
Okay, that's a plastic one again. My bad.
And it's got that seat that my mom would have
objected
to.
Oh, that's the one
to.
I just sent you to then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving right along. Marnie, segue. Go.
Did they have those on the reservation, is my question.
I don't
know.
Not being a Native American, I don't know.
Green machine?
All right, well,
my dad
then...
used to threaten to sell us to the reservation. Does that count?
No.
Wow.
No, it doesn't.
We lived quite near the Tuscaroran reservation.
We drove through on the way to my grandparents' house.
The reason that I ask...
No?
Sorry, I'm low battery. Mm-hmm. The reason that I asked is because apparently in New... Come on.
Rochelle?
Mexico. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Finland.
In New Mexico, there is a dumbass, I say with love, of Ginn. Representative Janice Arnold Jones suggested that the Democratic rival, Deb Haaland, isn't Native American because she didn't grow up on a reservation.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Add this to the list of things. I'm just saying. In a head-scratching interview Thursday...
It's a puzzle.
New Mexico... I'm stuck on Thursday, by the way. New Mexico's Republican nominee to represent the state's first congressional district suggested her Native American opponent isn't Native American because she didn't grow up on a reservation. Now, do you think that supports Donald's Pocahontas thing? Or does that just throw it to the wind at that point?
Is it the colors of the wind?
It's the colors of the wind.
Oh,
very
all
nice.
Of them.
Yeah, that was very nice. I did appreciate that.
Nice.
Yep, right there.
And we got a Disney reference, too.
Yep. So,
firing on 3 cylinders out of 10.
Mm-hmm. This was an interview, if you guys are ready for this, on Fox News.
Mm.
And that, you know, basically something was said in reaction because they were saying, if elected, Ms. Haaland would be the first Native American woman in Congress. I feel like that isn't true, but I guess that it is. I thought there was someone in...
I have...
Well, Wisconsin. Why do I think that? Anyway, I don't know.
Massachusetts may have its first African-American representative to Congress, so these firsts are
right,
still coming.
Right. Yeah, well, Massachusetts... Come on. We know that Elizabeth Warren's there. Your opponent, she would be the first Native American as a woman in Congress.
Native American woman, for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely, for sure.
Yeah, that's what they say, yes. And then puzzled, asked this Arnold Jones to elaborate. That's what they say. What do you mean by that? Well, there's no doubt that her lineage is Laguna. But she's a military brat just like I am. And so, well, you know, it evokes images that she was raised on a reservation. She belongs to a pueblo. Seeming to understand she'd strayed into racist territory, Arnold Jones hastened to add that Laguna is a wonderful lineage, then attacked Holland on open border policies that she thinks will endanger Native Americans. Holland responded Thursday afternoon, calling Arnold Jones' assertion that she's not Native American because she grew up on a military base, racist, an assault on military families, and wrong. Right. For generations, Native Americans have been subjected to genocide, forced assimilation, and government-backed family separation, she tweeted. Even today, Native American tribes suffer through attacks on tribal sovereignty and the ongoing unanswered epidemic of missing and murdered indigenous women. Despite all of that, Native Americans are still here. We are proud and we matter. I am proud to be a citizen of the Pueblo of Laguna, and I am proud of my parents' service in both the Marines and the U.S. Navy. So that backfired on this bitch, not just because it's one of the dumber things that people can say, but the fact that, you know, then this woman came out and just very, in a very proud manner, just shut her down.
Right, with all the just people done. That have been kidnapped from reservations, yes, and abused and all this stuff. Now leaving makes you no longer what the fuck?
Yeah, right, right. Because and because she was on military bases, yeah, right, with her family being, you know, Marines and Navy. Now you're attacking that too somehow, and it's just not going to go well for you.
Right.
I
do like, I mean, Canada has an awful, awful, awful track record with Native Americans too, but I do like that they call them First Nations.
Oh,
I've always liked that.
Okay,
yeah.
It just has a nobler ring to it than this hyphenate bullshit.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah,
yep. I'm in.
Just kind of like it.
It's good work.
So here's a shitty human. Oh. A woman invents fire.
Another one?
Yeah. Yep.
Keep going.
Woman invites firefighter husband to scam $11,000 worth of gifts. A Southern California woman is being investigated for allegedly trying to scam people into giving her thousands of dollars worth of gifts she claimed would be distributed to firefighters battling a series of blazes. Because there's no wrong time to just be the shittiest human being going.
Sure, sure.
Ashley Bemis, 28-year-old from San Clemente, hasn't been charged, but investigators said she pretended she was married to a firefighter named Shane Goodman, sounds charming, in order to receive $11,000 worth of donations in cash and gifts, including blankets, socks, and food. Well, I mean, that's not that glamorous. Problem was, Goodman doesn't exist. Even though...
Wow.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Nope.
Smart.
No. Even though Bemis made it seem smart, as if he did on social media, according to Inside Edition. So she catfished everybody.
Atta girl.
During one blaze she posted on Facebook, I received a text today from Shane saying it's pretty much a living hell out there.
Wow.
After an August 10th appeal from her on Facebook for supplies, people generously sent her blankets, food, air mattresses, and other items. Police said she then sold some of the gifts. Authorities said they got wise to Bemis's alleged scam after a Cal Fire employee got suspicious and checked the name Shane Goodman in an internal database. The employee then discovered no such firefighter exists.
Wow.
So, just... you know, something's going on, and somebody just has to scam it so those people that can give won't, yeah, because they're like, is it real, though? Because remember that lady that just made up her husband? You know what I mean? Like, there's always someone that has to just be a douche. Just stop.
True that.
Well, then I'm going to hell because I appreciate the scam. Like, look at her made up a whole freaking person.
You give her points for creativity.
Right.
However,
I'm proud of her.
Still shitty.
Well, I mean, still shitty, sure, but
maybe aim a little higher than socks and blankets.
Also true. Yeah, if you're gonna make up an entire person to scam people, get money.
Now, if she was re-gifting those and taking them to places like You Mom or giving them to some charity,
sure. Oh, very Robin Hood, yeah,
right.
Very Robin Hood.
I like that you're Robin Hooding them. That's good. Well, this guy isn't Robin Hood. He's kind of a dick. This guy, a man accused...
That's something a theme. You guys are angry at people today.
A man accused of kicking a seagull that tried to eat his cheeseburger at a New Hampshire beach has been fined.
As a goddamn hero is what I am.
Yeah,
saying.
Exactly.
He's been fined.
We've got socks and blankets for him if he needs them.
Thoughts and prayers, too. He was fined $124. Police investigated the report from a bystander at Hampton Beach earlier this summer. NH1, which is a local newspaper, New Hampshire One, reports that the man named Nate Ranclos said that he had just returned from getting a cheeseburger and fries and was sitting out on the sand. He said seagulls got to the burger and he spun around with his leg to shoo one away, but struck the bird. He said it was a simple mistake.
How much to kick unlimited seagulls is what I want to know. Like $250? What are we talking here?
An unnamed eyewitness said it appeared that the bird's leg was injured and that it struggled to fly away.
Thank God.
Well, you don't use your legs to fly.
One last thing.
Yeah.
New Hampshire Fish and Game Lieutenant Adam Cheney says seagulls are protected under federal law. So
really,
oh, that's redundant.
So we're talking 300 for unlimited kicking.
How come? Okay, so we can't kick them, but we can kill them with those things. Isn't that like the seagulls?
You mean airplanes?
You mean shooting into a hurricane?
Pigeons and all of them. The seagulls and all the
rats of the sky.
No, but the
two turtle doves
they put. Those things they put on the buildings by the windows so that they
it's a movie.
No, it's no. That's to keep them from landing. It's not to kill them.
Yeah,
that's just to keep them.
They can skewer them. Marnie,
yeah.
Let's think about this a minute.
All right.
How many times have you seen an impaled pigeon up on one of those spikes?
Even once is too many.
No.
Have you seen it one time?
I don't remember.
No, you have not.
Free pigeon. Yeah, it just keeps them from landing
and pooping everywhere
because they don't want people below to be shat upon.
I still want. I still think the scientists should spend more money, and we can figure out how to genetically figure out just to pigeons, so that they all become sterile and they all just go away.
Oh, sure,
that'd be great.
Yeah, but butterfly effect. Wait a second. Before we start eradicating species.
But they're not indigenous to America. They were brought over as a gift. So whoever the fuck did that?
So were white people.
Before we start eradicating species, if we tell them we're young Latino boys, they'll be like, no.
They were also here first.
Yeah.
I just want to kick them sometimes.
Another little story that I think will bring us a smile before we get onto the entertainment. A sarcastic sign in the window of a Connecticut restaurant asking people not to let their dogs pee on the eateries outside flower pots has earned the owner another fine of $250. A guy named Duck Goose? No, it's N-G-U-Y-E-N. Nguyen?
You pronounce that Wen.
Duck Wen, owner of Duck's Place in New Haven.
Learn that the hard way.
Somebody swings at you.
Tells the New Haven Independent paper that he was disgusted with people allowing their dogs to urinate on his plants. He thought a humorous sign was a good way of discouraging dog walkers from letting their pets relieve themselves there. And it read, quoting, "Attention dog owners, this is a paper pee flower pot. Pay inside or leave your address and we'll kindly return the favor."
We'll go pee on your house.
Right? Agreed.
The city's public space enforcement officer named Honda Smith said that the gentleman broke two city ordinances for being a public nuisance and issued the fine Tuesday. He plans to appeal the fine. Basically, piss on it. Yeah. Oh, wow. Heaven's sakes.
No, piss on that fine.
Well, as we...
How much to actually pee on the people?
Right. Oh.
Ask Trump.
I usually have to
just check it.
Usually have to charge extra. Is all I know about that.
Well, we have the Schmemmies were awarded this weekend. The Emmys now take place over three motherfucking days. I have a couple of movie reviews, a couple of series that I'm obsessed with. I don't think we ever talked about the end of Sharp Objects.
We didn't.
Sharp Things, whatever that show's called.
Sharp Objects.
I can't find anything that I wrote down for this.
Perfect.
But, that's it.
Hilarity will ensue.
Oh, and we do have a Death Den thing, but I'm going to let take that.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know. I wasn't prepared. We'll be back right after this. It's entertainment. It's a quick pee break. Go and do it now!
Don't fuck with me, fellas!
You're listening to Q Talk America.